B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 11 o'clock and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're a Beasley Media Group station. Judas, you know what I'm really afraid of?
What are you really afraid of?
That this Alshon Jeffrey talk is not just, hey, we're expecting him to come back because, you know, we need to make a trade.
No, you think they actually like him? That's what you're afraid of?
They actually like him. But they would actually think about bringing him back instead of dumping him.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about that, too. Like I am. People are now saying, well, maybe he wasn't the rat this whole time. Let's face it.
Here's the thing. Rat, no rat, whatever. He's not good.
He's got one leg.
He's not good. Even if he's healthy, he can't run. He's not fast. And I got to tell you, they're on the cusp. First of all, let's look at it real quick. Are they as good as New Orleans right now? No.
No.
Are they as good as 49ers?
Better quarterback, but no.
Rest of the pieces, right? Seattle, debatable, right?
Yeah. Russell Wilson's Russell Wilson.
I don't know about Tampa. Is Tampa better than him? Maybe.
Only if Tom Brady can throw it downfield.
I think he can. What about, you know, the Vikings or the Packers? I don't know.
Those are debatable, too. I mean, Vikings.
Know? Let alone the Cowboys. I mean, I don't know. I want to believe that they're going to be better. But right now, until they do something on the outside, I'm worried.
I hear you. Now, there is some Zach Ertz news today. That's from Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network. The team has already exercised Ertz's 2021 option per source. It happened last night. Strictly procedural, of course, but he's on the books for $8 million this season and $8.25 million next season, with talks on an extension likely to pick up in the coming months.
Yeah.
There's your Ertz.
Yeah, they will extend him and overpay him. That's a mistake waiting to happen.
So he's not going anywhere.
No. When I say I would do that, that's me.
Right.
That's not the Howie. They love Ertz. And see, and let me tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, people are going to be upset, and I don't want to be upset, and I like Zach Ertz, and I think he's a great dude, and I don't, by no means is this a shot. But if I'm the GM, I would not sign Zach Ertz to a big extension with Goddard behind him. I think it's, and by the way, with the beating that he has taken.
Yeah.
I think that's a mistake. But of course, if I was the GM, I would not have extended Alshon Jeffrey either.
Right.
Because he can't run. And I want to build an offense that actually has speed and take advantage of my quarterback who's got a big arm.
If they extend Ertz, does that mean Goddard's gone? Or do they do the 12 personnel like they talk about? I know that's against what you want, but
again,
I'm wondering what they're thinking.
Who knows what they're what I want is what I want.
Right.
And by the way, for the record, Orlovsky, without me prodding, completely said what I said. You're a witness.
Yes. And he's a guy that we respect.
You got to go down the field, man. You got to go down the field. 12 personnel's nice. Why do I want 12 personnel when I can go down the field with great receivers? Chunk plays. I mean, really, why? I don't want to grind it out. If I have Carson Wentz, why am I grinding it out? Tell me. He didn't grind it out. He went down the field. He used to go down the field. He used to argue with his coaches.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I want to throw it. Let's go to Stan. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stanley?
Hey, what's going on, cuz?
Yo, Stan.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you as far as like the Ertz thing goes. If it was a move for me to bring in a top-notch receiver, you know, because you have Goddard, and Goddard showed me a lot, especially towards the end of that season,
I agree.
Especially as a season, that he could be, you know, a suitable replacement for Ertz, because number one, he's a really good tackle breaker type of guy. You know, Ertz is the type of guy you clip his shoelace and he's done. You know, he's in the ground. He has good hands. He's a good route runner. He has speed, but you know, he doesn't break tackles. Goddard is a guy that drags.
Yeah, he's not Gronk, and he's not.
You know what I mean? No. He's not. Yeah, I'm not saying that.
Right.
But he's a guy who can definitely get you those yards, and he could definitely be a security blanket. He doesn't have to be a Hall of Famer. You know, he doesn't have to be the Eagles' all-time greatest tight end. But as long as he's a suitable guy that Wentz can check down to when he needs to, we're good. That's all you need him to do is catch the ball, break some tackles maybe, and we're fine. So I definitely agree with you on that one.
Let me ask you this, because I know I could be, you know, a bit of a pig head, but is Ertz still good for Carson to have him around?
I don't know. Maybe because of they definitely have great chemistry. You know, they're definitely, you know, I know you were talking about you wanted them to get a guy who can grow with Wentz so he can be his guy. Well, Ertz right now is his guy. You know, that whether it's because they were forced that way because of the lack of receivers on the outside or whatever you want to call it, but they have a really good camaraderie that you can just tell they have a genuine like for each other and they like playing with each other. So.
Right,
maybe that's to the detriment of that could be to the detriment of Wentz, but I don't know. It's one of those things where maybe you got to take him away to see for Wentz to grow, or I'm not really sure 100%. I just know as far as bringing in a guy like Hopkins, bringing in a guy like Julio, whatever, if those deals required you to throw Zach Ertz in the deal, I'm doing the deal 10 times out of 10. No disrespect to Zach Ertz, but like you said, I need that guy. I need that number one guy that we can always count on, that Wentz can go and say, you know what, I'm throwing it deep, go get it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's the type of guy Wentz wants on his team because he loves to push the ball down the field, you know?
And as far as
going back to the last call you were talking about, Robbie Anderson, Sam Watkins, you know, Sammy Watkins, look at Amari Cooper. He had a great rookie season. Then he looked like he couldn't even catch a cold, right? Then he gets to the Cowboys and all of a sudden he has such a resurgence. So you don't know what's going to happen with certain guys. You know, Randy Moss, I'm not comparing him to Randy Moss, but it's another great example. You know, he went to Oakland, wasn't the greatest time, goes to New England, goes with Tom Brady, 50 touchdowns, all that great. Yeah. So I think it really depends on the scenery change and who the quarterback's playing with. I'm not saying, you know, Carson Wentz is over Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, just maybe because you got Tyreek Hill on one side, Sammy Watkins doesn't get the same targets, right?
Yeah.
So you don't know what's going to happen depending on where the guy goes. I do agree that I would love for them to try to move up in the draft and grab one of these receivers, though. I think that would be the best thing for them to do. Now, are they going to be able to jump so many teams, especially teams knowing that they want a receiver? That's going to be a great question. And see if how we can make that happen. He's been great with the cap so far this year. I've seen what he's done so far is actually pretty remarkable. But, you know, can they get up there to get
Blewett with Jeffrey.
Right, exactly. Absolutely.
Listen,
so,
I love Howie to death. As a guy, his whole thing, the guy who made some great moves, helped win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Howie, I love Howie. I do. Love him. But, I mean, I keep it real, and I got to see his draft. Because right now I'm leaning, like that Sal Pal, I'm leaning.
Yeah,
in.
No, I completely agree with you. He has a lot to still prove. You know, that's been one of the biggest issues with the Eagles drafting, as far as offensive players goes, right? Wide receivers and especially cornerbacks, and they haven't been great in recent years in doing that for a long time. Actually, I should say. So, can you get up there? Can you make the necessary moves to grab Judy, Lamb, Ruggs, whoever, you know what I mean? Can you make the necessary moves to jump up and say maybe we can get, maybe do a trade with Tampa? You know, because Tampa now with Mike Evans and I forgot the other guy on the other side, they might not take a receiver. So maybe you can trade with a Tampa and leapfrog some of these teams so you can grab one of those three receivers, because I can guarantee you they're not going to be there at 21.
Right, Arizona, you know what I mean? Same thing. They got a receiver.
Right,
so,
exactly. So. Yeah. So you got to talk to one of these teams, and they know what you want. So the driving price is going to go up, but it's going to be up to Howie to make that move.
You think. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's a lock. I mean, you know, again, you know, the receiver is one thing, but they're, you know, again, it's all about what teams what their board looks like.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree with that. I agree with that. I do have a movie thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what's crazy is that as a kid, I've always been a sci-fi action guy, right? And growing up, I grew up in the, you know, the Fresh Prince era, right? So yeah, Will Smith is my guy. Like, I will not, any movie that comes out with Will Smith, I'm going to give it a shot, whether it's bad or good, because that's my guy. So when Independence Day came out.
He's a likable. You know what the other thing about him is? He's likable.
Yeah,
you like him in any movie, you know?
Yeah. And then, you know, with his charisma, he's very charismatic. So he brings it to the table. So, right. You know, you love to see it. And so when Independence Day came out, obviously I loved it. But I got to tell you that Bill Pullman speech as the president, and right before the final, like, battle, where he's getting all the, because, you know, all the countries are now coming together and everybody, and he gives a great speech about, you know, how the 4th of July is no longer just an American holiday. It's the day that we as a world say we're going to, it was just epic. Because me as a kid, I saw that I was probably about, like, 9 years old, and I remember I made my mom take me to the theaters twice, and I made my uncle make me see it a third time, and I just couldn't get enough of that movie.
Oh, that's cool,
you know?
Man.
So it was just always great. And then more recently, I, because I'm a comic book guy with the Avengers and everything, and growing up with those guys, seeing Captain America say, you know, Avengers Assemble on a big screen, it just brought back so many great memories as a kid.
And I just remember seeing
that and the crowd going. Those to me are probably, I have others, but those to me probably mean the most because of what they did to me for my childhood.
That's cool, man. I like that. That's great, Stan. Good stuff, brother. You are Stan Lee, big comic book guy. That's cool. Did you see Independence Day, Chews?
Independence Day? Yeah, I mean, a long time ago.
I don't know.
Yes. No, but it wasn't. That's not like a movie that I'll seek
out. Was good. Will Smith is one of those guys that I agree. Like, he's likable. Any movie he's in. You know what else is like that for me? Who I actually love the guy. Because of the kids. Is The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
He might be the most lovable dude in the history of movies.
He does a good job.
It's amazing. There was one we watched, and it must have been pre-Juice or whatever it was, but he was skinny. It was I was watching it with Mosmo the other day. It was The Race to Witch Mountain.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I don't know. But he was thin. Like, I was like, is that the, because even Mosmo goes, is that The Rock? I said, yeah, it's The Rock. He goes, how come he's not, you don't have his big muscles? But we watch all his, Anthony loves him. We watch all his movies. It's funny. All right, 610-632-0975 is how you join us. Oh, that's right, we got free beer to give away, too. And we got the five. Well, let's make it the best answers to the five. We'll win some beer. We got four cases to give away. Listen, let's talk about your lawn for a second. Would you like a greener, weed-free lawn that's also safer for your family and pets? If so, you got to choose Natural Lawn of America. That's right. Natural Lawn uses safer organic-based products that reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. This creates a safer lawn for you, your family, and your pets to enjoy. And with Natural Lawn, you won't scarify beauty for safety. For over 30 years, that's right, 30 years, Natural Lawn has provided homeowners with greener grass and fewer weeds using their exclusive organic-based lawn care programs. This is not a one-size-fits-all service. Now, it's customized treatments for your lawn-specific need. Wet, dry, sunny, shady. You live in PA, you live in Jersey. Natural Lawn's programs will deliver that lush green lawn you've always wanted. Right now, they got a special deal for our listeners. Schedule Natural Lawn's full-service program. Receive free seating every year. That's free seating every year. Call Natural Lawn today and let them know Klaus hooked you up. Call 800-FREE-SEED. That's 1-800-FREE-SEED. Choose Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds. Guaranteed.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Tonight. 97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Cuz Radio with Shunis. 11:24 across the Delaware Valley. Our 11 o'clock hour is brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Let me take a moment to talk to you about our health heroes. That's right. During this global pandemic, many of us are fortunate enough to stay at home and out of harm's way. However, there are those on the front lines who help keep our community a safer place day in, day out. They are the doctors and nurses and educators and custodians. They are our health heroes. Is there a health hero in your life that you would like us to recognize? Go to 975thefanatic.com right now to nominate the health hero you would like us to highlight. Check out our webpage, our social media page, and listen on air every day to see if your health hero will be highlighted. Every health hero that we highlight is going to receive a $50 Dunkin' gift card. We're all in this together. And they are, including your wife, Christy, who's a health hero.
Yeah, I love that we're doing this.
I do too.
This means a lot, so that's cool.
It's a great thing that the station's doing. I highly applaud it.
They need coffee. It's beautiful. Trust me. They need coffee.
No, it's great. It's a great thing. Dunkin' Donuts. I think it's awesome that people are doing this. I love it.
Shout out to Coach, too. I mean, Coach is a big part of this. I'm pretty sure it was his idea. So
really?
I appreciate what Coach Camille does.
Coach. Amazing. Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And remember, again, we talk about our doctors and nurses. And in Philadelphia, we are blessed to have incredible medical people. Jefferson, I always talk about University of Pennsylvania, Children's Hospital. Jefferson, Cooper. I mean, all these people.
Not Hahnemann.
Not Joel Friedman, a scoundrel. Let me say that once more. The man who owns Hahnemann Hospital now, who tried to fleece the city of Philadelphia.
You're a real crumb bum.
Yep. An ultimate scoundrel. A scum, human scum, Joel Friedman, who tried to fleece the city of Philadelphia for use of Hahnemann Hospital during a pandemic. It doesn't get more disgraceful than that. All right, let me read you one back to our fun and games on the text board. Provolone Joe, is there any figure in any city or sport with a more love-hate relationship than with Howie? He gets Slay. We love him. No receiver. We hate him. He gets Jenkins walk. He lets Jenkins walk. We get mad. We hate him. He drafts Carson. We love him. He drafts Sanders. We love him. He doesn't get a linebacker. We hate him. It's unreal how Howie's love-hate pendulum swings with every single move.
I agree with him. It's a very good point. Maybe at some point, Elton Brand could get there because everybody loved everything that Elton Brand did. And then the season didn't really turn out the way we expected it to. So a lot of people started blaming Elton Brand, even though when they made those moves, everybody loved it. So because things didn't go well, they now hate Elton Brand. I'm sure this next offseason, he'll do some good things for the team that people are going to be excited about. Maybe they go off to a slow start, and it's back to hating Elton Brand again.
Yeah, I think Howie gets too much hate.
I agree.
And too much credit, too, at times. I think that, listen, he's the face of it, so that comes with the job, right? That comes with the territory. However, I think there's other people that have a say or a piece of that personnel pie.
I think what he gets too much hate for is he hit like 100% in 2017. Every move that he made was perfect. Every move that he made, at some point, that person played a role and helped the Eagles win the Super Bowl that season. And I think people started expecting that sort of 100% clip, 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100. Every move that he makes is going to be perfect. And let's face it, the last couple of years, he's still made some decent moves that have helped the team, but there's been some things that hurt the team. But that's every GM. Every GM is not going to hit on every single move they make.
Exactly.
But I think people expect him to because he did it a few years ago when it was one of his first years back in power after Chip left.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm with you. Now, again, my biggest beef. Now, again, it's not a beef, I shouldn't say. I love Howie and love Doug. You know, they have a special place in our hearts. They brought us that Super Bowl. But I got to be honest with you, I'm not in love with the direction they've taken the team. I don't like the offense. I think the offense needs to be more of a down-the-field strike offense. And they let that Jeffrey thing permeate. Like, that was bad. Like, that whole thing was bad. Like, you gotta have a handle before you extend him. You got to have a handle on what's going on in the locker room, right?
Yeah, and you said something earlier in the show that I agree with. You think this whole Howie's talking up Alshon Jeffrey is not just to try to trade him. He's talking him up because...
Well, that's my fear.
So do you want to hear from Howie?
I do, and then I want to get back to our friends on the phone lines.
Yeah, so Howie spoke obviously yesterday, and it was a conference call, you know, of the virus and all that stuff. Unless it might have always been a conference call. But, yeah, they talked about Alshon a lot.
Yeah, I think that when we talk about Alshon, some things that people don't get to see that we get to see on a daily basis is this guy wants to win world championships in Philly. You know, he has told me recently how much he wants to win for our fans, for our city. You know, it is important for him to be a Philadelphia Eagle and to work hard, and he understands where people feel about him right now, and he's not sitting there feeling sorry for himself. You know, the priority for Alshon is to get healthy. He needs to get healthy. You know, just talking to our PR staff and hearing the narrative of Alshon, Alshon's a good player, and I think that we lose sight of that a little bit and the things that he can do when he's healthy. The toughness that he's shown to try to bring a championship to our city, which he helped, obviously.
Yeah, I disagree with Howie there. He's not a good player anymore. If he's healthy, he's an average player. He's not dynamic. And they need dynamic receivers. I'm sorry. Mark in Swanksville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Mark.
Hey, hello, Anthony. I'm calling you Anthony because I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
Yeah, well, I love your show. I love you guys. And you're the guys that are keeping us going. I mean, just, you know, I play you guys all the time just to, you know.
Thank you, brother.
Stay sane. But and I call you Mr. Philadelphia because you are the guy that talks meats and, you know, sausages and cheeses. And I love hearing all that stuff about Italian markets. I mean, that is one of our, you know, Italian markets, one of the great parts of Philadelphia, you know. So
yes, it is. Very fond.
And I dialed in before those last two guys called in, but I can't talk X's and O's like those guys. And you can tell I'm a little hyper right now because I drink a lot of coffee. So, I love coffee. I grind my own beans.
Do you really?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a coffee man too.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, coffee's
awesome.
My life. You know what I mean? So,
where do you get the beans from? What's your favorite?
Well, I actually go to, I don't want to give any, well, I could tell you, I don't want to give any brand names out, but
I'll
send you an email. I'll send you an email where I get my beans. I'll tell you what, it's a local company that makes their own beans right here in the area.
Tell us.
So, a couple football points. Basically, I did hate Howie until they won the Super Bowl, you know, and maybe that's the love-hate thing going on, you know?
Sure.
One more point, you know, again, like, I can't talk about those other guys, but what was your opinion on the Tom Brady move, like what he did?
By going to Tampa?
Yeah.
Well, first, you know, there had to be something between him and Belichick that really drove him away.
You think?
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I mean, if everything was great between them, why would he leave, right? I mean, obviously there was something that Belichick said that there was a riff, and I still believe that it came from his trainer, the TB12 stuff, that here was a lot of Patriots that wanted to work out more with Brady and less with the team, Belichick put a stop to that. And I think that's probably the genesis. And I think Belichick is probably tough to get along with.
Right.
I think he's also, he realized that Brady wielded a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that they came to an end. And I think Brady says, well, I want to play, and I want to play two more years, and I want to enjoy My last two years in the league, and let me go hang with Bruce Arians, who's a fun guy.
Right. My point is, though, for any team, when you lose a player like that, even if it happened on the Eagles, it just jades. That's why I think I'm jaded with sports, too, just when guys make moves like that. But and one more point with sports is, what about the 17-game season? I mean, do you think that's an NFL money grab for just making more money and, you know, selling more stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can do the math. You understand that those games, those NFL Sundays are worth so much in television, right?
Exactly.
Right? So now all of a sudden you're going to add another week, and depending, and they talk about not adding another bye, but, you know, I think they probably will at some point have a double bye, and now you're going to add two more weeks of content? I mean, wow. I mean, that's a lot of money that you're adding.
One more sports point. I think we could have had some of these games without fans, but I think that maybe the cost of operating the arena or something like that, they didn't want to lose any money. So I think, again, it's money. It comes down to money, you know? I don't know.
I think with the NBA, I think the commissioner was real in, look, I mean, you had a player, two players test positive.
Yeah, right, that's true.
You can't risk your own health.
A message for Tunis. We're moving my sister to, she's moving today, and then we're moving her tomorrow, her boxes. So moving can happen. So he'll be fine with the moving, okay?
He'll be fine. Hear that, Tunis?
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah,
cool.
So he's good there. Now, you were asking some, the whack-a-mole thing or the.
Yes. You answer that? You got it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I want to put him in there three times, and it's. The owner of Hahnemann, this guy, I mean, total bonehead, you know?
Yeah, horrible.
I mean, so.
Worse than a bonehead, he's a scoundrel.
Yes, exactly. Right? Whatever you want to call it.
Against humanity. At the time when we need each other the most. And listen, he would still get revenue. He helped the city of Philadelphia up for his 500 beds. I mean, it's disgraceful. Oh, my God. Brother, listen, you don't be a stranger, okay? Thank you. It's pathetic. It's evil. It's evil. When your fellow man, there's a special place in hell for that guy.
Yeah, it's a steel term for Mikey Miss. He's an ass face, this guy.
No, it goes beyond ass faces and name calling. This guy is just evil. I mean, it's just evil. And he belongs to burn. Oh, how awful that is to do that. That you don't come here and you don't come to the rescue. Like, again, you're still going to get, you'll still be able to garner some revenue, but you got to do what's right.
Right. Yep. I agree with you.
It's amazing to me how just nasty people can be.
Let me ask you something. When did you totally different topic. When did you cover the Mets?
I covered the Mets in 1994.
Perfect. We're going to have some fun later.
Oh, yeah?
They're showing on the MLB Network, opening day, Mets-Cubs, 1994.
Dude, I was there. At Wrigley?
At Wrigley, yes.
I was there.
They're showing the game right
Tuffy
now.
Tuffy Rose
hit
three home runs. It snowed. The day before was a snow out.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes.
All right, so like we did the other day, I'm going to make you guess the starting lineup later in the show.
That was it was amazing about it. I was there. I was living in Chicago. I was that day, all right? That day, I was living in Chicago. I had flown back to New York for a couple times to interview with the Post. So that day, I'm sitting in the press box at Wrigley Field, and I get paged. And back then, remember, there was no cell phones or anything like that.
Unless you were like really rich, probably.
Right? Yeah, that wasn't me. So I get paged in the press box, and I'll never forget. You got a phone call, and it was my soon-to-be boss, that guy Greg Gallo. Jim Salisbury. I talked about. He said, hey, kid, you want a job?
Yes.
Right? So he says to me, I go, yeah. He goes, you got the job. and I was like all fired up, right? So he says to me, we're on the phone. I mean, one of the games going on. And he says to me, hey, so I have two spots. What do you want? He goes, I got the Mets and I got the Giants. So what did I choose?
You chose Mets.
No, I chose Giants, right? Because, you know, I love football, right?
Well, okay.
So I chose Giants, and he goes, all right, just so you know that if you choose the Giants, you won't start for another, you know, few months, like 3 or 4 months.
Right.
3 months or whatever. So then I went, all right, I'll take the Mets. Because I didn't know.
Flipped. Okay.
Because what would happen if I waited until that point, what, you know, July, before they had they brought me in to cover the Giants for training camp.
Right.
I was like, I'll do the Mets. And that's how that came.
So, yeah, I'm going to make you guess the starting lineups on both teams.
All right. I'm literally at the game, man.
I'm going to keep an eye out, see if they show you in the press box.
That's
a young Anthony L. Gargano.
That's great. No, I don't think they'll show you. That's awesome. That's fun. All right, let me sneak in Jay. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Is this the man? Yeah. Jay from West Philly?
Yeah, exactly.
Where you going? Jay, you sound like you're in a tunnel.
Oh, I had my headphones on while I was leaving.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, take them off, man. Come on.
I was practicing a little social distancing yesterday.
You sounded like that. Social distancing. Hey, I heard you on Devon the other night.
Yeah, that's my man. I
love Devon too.
And Sal Tunis. Yeah. Y'all my three shows.
I love Devon too. I was like, it's Jay. It's funny. I'm listening because I love Devon as well. Yeah,
exactly. That's another thing, Nicole. I was talking out of my mind when I talked to him that day, giving up a first round pick for Curtis Samuel.
I was about to say that to you. Come on, brother.
No, I was just thinking about with the weapons they got down there, we could sneak him out of there. A little underrated receiver. He's kind of young.
But yeah, probably he's a little more of a gimmick guy that you want to give the, you know, a lot of. Well, I think Matt.
That's how Tyreek Hill started.
Yeah, you're right, but I still think that he has down the field guy, yeah. And I think Matt will use him. Because Matt will bring kind of a more of a Saturday meet Sunday offense, so he can use a guy like Samuel.
Yeah, see, I was thinking he brought Robbie in to replace that speed down there, because I know they got the other kid from Philly, DJ Moore?
Yeah, I like him a lot, DJ Moore.
So with him and McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but yeah, yesterday I was sitting there, I said, man, Ant must have seen I was on hold, he pushed me back. When the guy went in on McNabb yesterday, I'm like,
you were on the line?
I was like second
line.
Oh,
that's great.
I was like, I said, Ant must have pushed me back so I could cool off. And I was going to tell you thanks for that.
Oh, that's great. That was the Super Bowl. By the way, just so everybody knows, I can't see the board, so I don't know. Did you? And the guys in the back go by order. So
I was just joking with y'all. Yeah. I was like, look, I was like sitting there, and I was like, yo, I said this dude would go off on McNabb before I go. I said I'm gonna chill. I ain't gonna say that.
Oh,
and
that's
so
great.
I call up to say my boy. But yesterday I was gonna throw out a bust out name of a Philly that I thought was gonna be great, but couldn't hit the curveball. Number 44.
Number 44, right-handed hitter.
Exactly. We got him from the Pirates.
Oh, my God. Outfielder?
I thought this guy was going to be, I thought he was going to be like Baby Vlad.
I can see him. Who is he?
West Chamberlain.
Wow.
He was going to be something, man.
Yeah, West Chamberlain.
That's
a great bust out name, West Chamberlain.
Exactly. Look, I started watching the films with Isaac Virgil and Ben Rosen and all of them. So, Yvonne De Jesus, and Boone, and Steve Jones was the one I hated the worst, man.
I'm with you. I'm with you. My three hates are, at least two of them, are Jelts, DeJesus, and then, you know, pick your third, but I'm with you on those two guys.
But look, I agree with what Howie did. I mean, I wanted the talent of Hopkins, but I'm sitting there looking around the league. How many quarterbacks and wide receivers making $20 million a year? So that's what I was thinking he was looking at.
Yeah, but here's a problem, right? If you get a talent like Hopkins.
No, I'm just saying that.
I don't look around. See, here's the thing. It's a problem of mine, but I'm not looking at anywhere else how anybody else builds the team. To me, I look at it. See, again, I wouldn't sign Zach Ertz to an extension. I hate to be that guy, but
I
to me,
either.
He's got a lot of mileage on him. You already got a tight end that you could be that gives you fiscal sense, right?
But see, like you said, I'm thinking that's how everybody else thinking. So he might have to sign Ertz and trade Goddard.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do it, but you
mess with your cap. I think it's a mistake.
Exactly. But you know, you got to keep that quarterback that you're the same. Look, he's the only person I know got to have everybody in the locker room like him.
Well, I mean, he hasn't said anything about Jeffrey publicly. Right. I don't know. But my beef with Jeffrey is, besides being a rat, I don't think he's any good.
No, well, look, we knew he didn't have speed when he came here.
Again, he had a little more speed than he's got now. He's got nothing.
Exactly. He had thin legs last year. But, look, it's in our best interest to keep him.
I can't stand him. I can't
waste that cap money. I know what you're saying, but
get out.
You got 53 people. Not everybody going to get along.
I want him out. I don't care about getting along. I want him out because I want a better receiver in there. Jay, I love you, buddy.
I think he's still going to get a receiver.
Well, I want two. I want you to be safe. All right? Thanks, pal. Appreciate it. We got to take a quick tea. We'll come back. A lot of fun. You guys have been a lot of fun today. So, thank you. Just want to give my thanks. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us. It's Cuz Radio with you, and it's right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Don't forget the playback. Yeah, the playback is coming. 12:20, game 7. Flyers. Bruins. One of the all-time great games. Flyers and Bruins. Amazing. You excited for that game?
Yes. It was a lot of fun watching it today.
Oh, we're trying to get Peter on. How great would that be if we can get Peter on?
Oh, I'd love to hear
Peter LaViolette. To get Lavi on would be ridiculous.
Start playing with some John. Let's go.
Let's go. That's it. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. That's coming up at 12:20. In the interim, we got to take more of the five. Give people a chance to win some beers. Donald, you're in Lansdowne. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Donald?
Hey, Anthony, you're always on the ball lately.
What's happening, brother? Thank you, man. What's
happening? You know, why would you entertain these people who keep bringing up Rodney Anderson and Perryman and Sammy Watkins when it might not be any football this year? Then if you pay these people who are second-tier wide receivers, think about how old they're going to be in 2021. So you're going to give them this money, And then they might not play football this year. And then in 2021, you done paid them all this money. Now they're going to be 2 years older. Okay? Now, he vowed that he was going to make the team younger. All right? Now, the slave thing, I think that was a given. You had to do that because of the fact that the layoff will help corners and it'll help quarterbacks. So somebody might say, well, how do I know it's going to help a corner? Look at Dal Green in the Washington Redskins. He played all the way up till he was 40 years old. You see, I think it's going to hurt wide receivers. So if we can try and figure out Harry Roseman to say, well, maybe he's doing a smokescreen about Jeffrey, about his performance, how he's still a good player, and he helped us out winning the Super Bowl and this and that. And then the smokescreen for Ertz, we're thinking about picking up his option in 2021. I'm hoping that's a smokescreen where he'll trade Ertz, trade Brandon Graham, and trade Jeffrey to either Oakland, their first-round pick, or Tampa Bay's first-round pick. So we can get a first-round pick for Ruggs or CeeDee Lamb, and then maybe get a third-round pick as insurance. Because I'm telling you, people say, well, there's no good tight ends out there. Well, why don't you use Claypool from Notre Dame and use him as a Graham type of player or Ertz type of player who can spread him out wide or play next to the tackle?
Right, I agree with you.
And I'm going to tell you something else.
Yeah.
It's very critical because these players are going to be 2 years older. Okay?
Yeah, I don't know.
Look at all these high-priced guys. Look at all these high-priced guys that you gave. Tell me this, Anthony. Before I hang up.
Yeah.
If you give A.J. Green $50 million and you give Julio $80 million and you get them in free agency for the Philadelphia Eagles, does that mean that if there's no football this year, those guys get to keep that money? See, Harry Roseman, I believe, he was thinking about all that.
You know what? It's funny because I don't think anybody right now, the league is not thinking about not playing yet. So, again, I don't know what would happen to signing bonuses.
They keep their money.
And I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
That's probably why Harry Roseman didn't do it. That's why he didn't go out and pay somebody a lot of money like that.
No, I don't think that's it. First of all, they didn't have a lot of money. Don, thank you, man. Great stuff, brother. Appreciate it. They didn't have a lot of money. Remember that because of the Al-Stroud extension. But as far as not playing, that's not part of my premise. Listen, God forbid, if they can't play, you know, then they can't play. And, you know, it's about the, you know, the how you're building your team and whatever. I'm just looking to draft a receiver because I just think that's prudent. Like, you draft a receiver and that's how you're going to build your team. But, you know, the thoughts of them not playing, I don't know what's going to happen. We talked earlier about the draft and how the draft, Goodell said it will not move. It's a firm date. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they're going to have OTAs. And they're talking about having this draft at a site that is not the team headquarters. So people are going to have to travel to some site. And well, I don't know if it's in New York, which is the epicenter of the virus. I have no idea. You're gonna really bring people to New York and put them up in a hotel room?
I hope not.
When you got, you know, this virus out of control? I mean, that's what I'm saying about Roger Goodell, Junis.
Yeah, I can't. I don't agree with what he's doing. Now, I don't agree with what Donald was saying about they didn't sign players because they don't know if they're playing. But it is an interesting conversation to have. What do they do with those contracts? Like, if they still do the draft, which it looks like they're doing, and if they don't end up playing this year, does year one of their rookie contract just happen? Yeah,
I don't know any of these provisions.
Right.
I mean, and I don't think they know. Major League Baseball and the players just came under an agreement yesterday, you saw, that if something happens and they don't play the season, that they would get service time, and that affects JT Realmuto because he would then become a free agent. So I don't think the NFL is there yet. What would happen if they don't play? I think everybody would be, I think, listen, it would hurt morale a lot to think that by September, there's no football. Like, that we're still going to be in some sort of quarantine.
Yeah, but, I mean, Kirk's herb streak, because that's where it really all started this conversation today. His point is I kind of agree with it, because there's not going to be a vaccine yet, and it's going to go away, hopefully, during the warmer months. But if it's just like the flu, it'll spike.
Though, is it? I mean,
I don't know. That's what we're all hoping.
Yeah, but it's in Florida, right?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, Arizona's pretty warm. It's in Florida.
Yeah.
It's in Mexico now, right?
Yeah, you're right.
They cancel La Liga. It's in South America that coming off in summer. Right? Southern hemisphere. To Australia. They're coming off their summer. Yeah. You know.
So, I mean, it's scary. And it's possible that there's no football. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that would be, I think it would be tough for people.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Morale-wise.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I think, look, you know, at some point, we're going to have to accept it, at least short-term, that, you know, I know that the president was hoping for Easter. What I think they're going to try to do at some point is to open up pieces of the country. But ultimately, it's going to come down to the governors of each state. And all you got to do is look at our area, right? Which is the epicenter of the country.
Right.
When you throw New York, D.C. and the Northeast Corridor between New York, D.C., us, Boston, and, you know, you're going to talk about the seaboard. How in the world can you open up life? How can you go open up our part of the country? We haven't even seen the worst of it yet.
Yeah, I know. The spikes are still coming.
I mean, that's the scary thing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.